WJC.
Hello, Jerry. KA3JCA.
Richard, hope you're doing well.
I just been laying around today, totally relaxing and just enjoying the day.
Yeah, today it was not quite so hot outside today, and been pretty pleasant, really. Hadn't been out much, though, but we usually have a busy week. Either Saturday or Sunday's busy with kids and grandkids. After they go out on the boat, went to the ball game yesterday, and I think they're having a little trouble with the boat right now, so we didn't see them today. They came by. We picked them up Friday, of course, like we do sometimes. They spent the afternoon with us in this. It was hectic there for a while, but we got to relax for a couple of days.
We can get through this next week and it not get too hot, and we don't get any of the after effects of that tropical storm. Maybe I haven't seen the latest update on it, but hopefully we can do without the rain. We need a little bit of it, but not much.
Don't need send it our way because we need it. We haven't had any rain in over a week now, I guess. We don't get bypasses. It's on both sides. It kind of splits off as it's coming across either side of us, I guess. But we could always use it. Grass is just starting to look halfway decent again, but it's going to be pretty warm next week. I think it looks like it's going to be warm up until maybe the weekend, but I haven't looked at the forecast today.
Something interesting the other day on the TV on one of the channels. I'm trying to think of the name of the topic, but. It's, you know, how things work or whatever, stuff like it's on one of those, I don't want to call it an entertainment channel, but it's like a factual channel. And it showed pictures of Lake Mead out in Nevada and how the water has dropped like 30 or 40 feet over the last so many years. And I remember as a young boy, my dad was stationed out there at the Air Force Base in Nellis, and we'd go out to Lake Mead and go out on the lake and spend the day and stuff like that. But I just could not get over how much water had dropped. And even behind Hoover Dam, the water level is extremely low.
I've seen that. That's pretty unreal. I'm sure that a lot of it has to do with the weather, but a lot of it also has to do with, you know, all that water's going to, it's been siphoned off to California, too, because I don't think Los Angeles, they can't support themselves on the water they get in the states. It was a big deal back in the 30s about getting water to Los Angeles and also to the valley up there where all the farmers are. The political thing, and of course, Nevada and other places in near California, they just weren't that well developed at that time, didn't have that much population, so they didn't think it'd be that big of a deal, but now it's becoming a big deal, and it's going to get an even bigger deal, but it's just something real. I couldn't believe, I saw it too, and I remember years ago when I saw pictures of it, it was gorgeous, and now it looks like it's just, it's like somebody's just taking a drill and drilled a hole in the bottom and let it all go.
KA3JCA. Yep, I tell you what, it just, you know, I try not to water my grass unless it gets really needed, but so far, the last 2 years, I haven't had to do much of that. Some of the grass died when it came back, and I paid for a company to come out and treat my grass, and 2 years of treating it, I swear to God, I never saw any improvement whatsoever, other than the fact that it just stayed green. But they were trying to get bluegrass to grow out front and fescue to grow in the back, but it just never happened.
Yeah, of course, I think we're right in that cutoff zone for fescue or bluegrass, yeah, they're just varieties of the same stuff. But and we're almost, I mean, we're centipede is a good grass. We should get it growing here if you can get sod and get it rooted well. But it still requires a good bit of water. But I'm trying to get Bermuda to grow. I know I've told you I've been trying to put out pieces of Bermuda sod here and there in some of the more barren areas, because the Bermuda can get by on less than an inch every 10 days. And bluegrass, yeah, fescue or bluegrass, any of the grasses like that, it requires a whole lot more water. And centipede does. Centipede makes a beautiful lawn, but it just requires a lot of water. And our water is so expensive in this subdivision. If I watered my lawn, my water bill would be over $200 a month.
Expensive. I know where I lived before, people that lived near the lake would put a pump and piping in and pump water from the lake and then water their yard, especially in the back, and then any of the runoff would run back toward the lake. So they didn't put a lot of chemicals on their yard. But they did, were able to water it, but the front yard they weren't. But then I've known people to dig a well just for watering their yard.
So you mentioned that we had our lake lot, my dad bought it back in the early 60s, just when the lake lot was dammed to back it up. And he was a rural mail carrier, and he bought a piece of property from a guy on one of his on his route. And he had he used to have a garden out there, and he had an electric pump where he could pump the water up to the lake and water his garden. But we also had a well and had a safety tank too, where we just had a little small, trailer on it that just for changing clothes and cooking and that sort of thing, because we didn't live down there. It was a second, it was more of a hobby for him. He really enjoyed it during his lifetime. But I've known people that have done that, and now you don't dare put one down there now, because they will absolutely find you. You have the government is, they will absolutely beat you into submission for something like that. They don't allow that at all now. But my father-in-law had he lived in a community, it was just a small subdivision. They had their own well, like a community well. And you paid a fixed amount. Let me just drop the amount each month, which was like $30, you know, something minimal. But they didn't want you, watering your grass a lot. So he went out there. It was a big enough lot that it was permitted for him to do it, since they had a sewage system. I don't think they had a safety tank, but big enough lot, they let him drill a well. That's what he drilled a well specifically to water his grass and his flowers.
When I lived out in the country in Delaware, I had a well in the front, and the septic was in the back. It had to be so far apart. Now, that well water, we used it for both watering, and it was part of our drinking water and stuff like that. But if you're going to water your yard and stuff, you got to make sure you hit a well that's got a good reservoir, because I've also known people to run their well dry and have to wait 12 to 24 hours for it to fill back up.
Drill was a deep one. It went down 150 feet, I think, or something like that. It was a drill. It wasn't a board. It was a drill well. He had a submersible pump, and he didn't water it that often. He had a beautiful centipede lawn. It was a big lawn too. It was just flat and smooth. You get it easy to mow. But he got it out there, and they told him he could drill it, but he could not use it for inside the house, for their own water. They just still had to use the other well. I guess because, I'm not sure what it was. It might have been because of the, I'm pretty sure he didn't have a safety tank. I think they had a sewage system. I may be wrong, but it was like a community water system. But there was something about it. The lot had to be a certain size, it had to be so far away from, the water lines and that sort of thing. But he drilled a at the very back of the lot, and he had plenty of water. I forget how many feet of water he had in it, but it was plenty enough to water the lawn. And he had a, It's odd that he did not have, I don't remember him having an irrigation system. I think he just put sprinklers out there and that sort of thing. But when they told him he couldn't water his lawn, you know, using the community water system, they said, well, I'm going to keep my lawn nice. It was the nicest lawn he'd ever had. They said he was going to, you know, spend $1,500 to drill a well to, or whatever it costs to keep his grass looking good. And he did.
Nobody else wanted to use the repeater. I don't know, like you said, your water is expensive and it would cost you an arm and a leg there to water it. I've also known subdivisions or places that have HOAs that tell you you can only water on certain days of the week and so forth, and they really try to restrict it. A lot of city municipalities do that just to protect their water reservoir and so forth like that. So did you guys eat dinner yet?
Usually have a kind of just a sandwich in the evening. I've already eaten. I eat usually at about 6 o'clock in the evening. I don't like to eat too late in the day. But they don't have restrictions here. It's just the water company that bought this system out. Is Blue Green, and it's a big company. They have water systems all over the country, I guess. The odd thing about it is the water, we have the county water system is like across the main road up here from us where the subdivision starts. And all they do is they pipe it across the main road, charge us double for it, and then charge us a neighborhood fee on top of that. So it gets really expensive where most people pay $35, $40 a month for their water. Ours is $100.
That, Jerry, I missed the last little bit of that. My daughter called, and I had to grab that phone. She's let me know she was off work. But yeah. Now you said your son and daughter-in-law, or son-in-law and daughter, used to do lawns or so forth like that, and they help you with the chemicals and stuff.
That's Tom. N0TR, I think his daughter and son-in-law used to do that. And now I don't, me a minor. One of my works for, my son-in-law works for Greenville County. He's the governmental affairs coordinator for Greenville County, for the county council. My daughter's is the assistant news director at Channel 4.
You talking about, when you say Channel 4, WYFF?
About probably 12, 13 years now, she graduated from Westbrook, and they offered her a job 2 weeks after she graduated. She had a degree in communications. A lot of people said she'd never find a job, but they offered her a job. She started out as a producer and just worked her way into other things. She used to do the Chronicles, the one they did on Biltmore. She did that, and she did all the Chronicles up until recently. She's won a bunch. They won a bunch of Emmys. They won a Peabody for that. Polish. I think it's called Polish Gift, where the guy had a. I think where somebody had a transplant or something like that. I don't recall. It's been a number of years ago. And my son-in-law was a sportscaster there for a long time, and he left that job before they got married, and he went to work for Greenville County. He's been working with the county ever since.
World there, I still watch it, but I used to watch WYFF a lot in the morning for the news, and then the one guy that left, I can't even remember his name now, that was either Parkinson or Alzheimer that he was having trouble with, he left, and then now there's Destiny Chance and the other guy that's on in the morning, and then of course there's Amanda that does the school teacher year thing. And then there was another girl that I haven't seen in a while, so I don't know if she's still there. I think her name was Destiny or something. But my wife and I used to get up at like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning and watch the news.
I don't watch it that much. We watch it in the evening because she didn't, you know, the different people produce them. She handles the evening news, the 4 and a 6 and that sort of thing. When she gets off about 6:30 or so. But, yeah, there are a lot of people that have left there recently. The microcargo left, you know, and some, you know, back in Mayor Gene, I think. And he'd been there for years and years. And Carol Goldsmith is still there. She's been there for a long time, too. And some of the other guys, some of the other guys have left too over the years, and they've got a crew in that. To be honest with you, Richard, a lot of them I don't know personally. Most of the older ones I knew personally because they do a lot of Christmas stuff, and we go up through the Christmas parties and meet everybody. But we don't do that anymore. So I'm not very familiar with the current group of people there now.
KCA. I'm still, you know, not being able to get out like I can. I kind of miss not being able to meet people face-to-face. At least with ham radio, I can get on here and talk to my heart's content. I try not to hog up the repeater there. So if people want to use it, they just have to jump in and say, hey, can I use the repeater? Yeah, I'll step down for a little bit. But I'm here. I am monitoring throughout the day. Sometimes I doze off. And I don't hear the radio, but it's my way to getting out there to the world there, Jerry.
I don't get out as often as I did either. My vision's okay, but I don't drive at night anymore, and I don't get out like I should. I certainly don't get out in the heat. I've had a couple of instances over the last year where I had some dizziness, and you know, they didn't really find anything wrong with me other than just being old, and you know, my circulation was pretty good. My heart was okay, but I had some heart issues, minor stuff that I don't have to do anything about. But if I get out, you know, stay too long out there, it really takes a toll on me, and that's something I never thought would happen because I was always so active when I was younger. But you were speaking about the guy you were talking about had Alzheimer's. That was Jeff Hart. He and my son-in-law were real good friends, and they'd known each other. So they've worked with each other probably for 15 or 18 years. I guess it was just such a sad thing. But he and his wife, his family, they're just, man, he's one of the most positive people you'll ever be around. He just, you know, he took everything in stride. And they had a big to-do for him down in Columbia where they recognized him down there. And, you know, the station, is part of Hearst Argyle. And I'm sure they've taken good care of him, you know, financially and that sort of thing. But he had a wonderful family, too. It was just, he was always, you know, how you doing? And, you know, the family, we knew them all. And like, we just hadn't seen them in a while. We don't get that involved with it anymore, but he was just a real, he was one of those guys who was just a real, real, just, you can ask to meet a nicer guy, and he was always the same. You never saw him lose his temper or anything like that. He was just a great guy, or he still is a great guy. And John Sesrich, the weather guy, he left, not where he is now, I know he retired, but another guy is, Dale Gilbert. Now, Dale's brother, Dale, and was from Rock Hill, and his brother, Glenn, still lives there. And Glenn and I got our amateur radio license at the same time, and I still got to keep in touch with Glenn every once in a while.
Dale was from Rock Hill, and that's interesting because I'd like to sit down and pick his brain because he probably knew my granddaddy.
And like I said, Glenn's still there. He graduated, I think, from Rock Hill High, I think. I know he graduated from high school in Rock Hill. I don't know whether they had moved there from somewhere else or not, but that's where he was mostly raised, I guess. And I think Glenn's getting ready to retire. Glenn worked for the Honda dealership over there from sometime in the, mid to late 70s, I guess, and he was still working there the last time I spoke with him, maybe a year or so ago. I spoke with him, I talked to him on the radio when I was up there, but he'd never moved, but I didn't realize that either, until I was, my daughter telling me, I said, gosh, I didn't know that. And he and my son-in-law still go fishing a lot together. They go down to Monticello and places like that and go catfishing and striper fishing. And you know, Dale just loves to fish. But he had one of his friends had some type of incident on the lake. I think Richard fell overboard and drowned. It just devastated him when that happened. But he still goes a lot. But, you know, he and my son-in-law go, you know, they go two or three times a year for a little junket somewhere to catch these big catfish and big stripers.
I wonder if they go down to, like, Santee Cooper Reservoir and stuff like that. So, well, I know when I was in Rock Hill, I would go out to Lake Wylie a lot with my mom and my dad and my grandpa and my uncles, and we'd take a couple different boats. And, you know, back then you could tie your boat up at the dock right there from a little gas station and a little shop in this park, and you could walk away and leave your fishing poles and lures and all stuff in the boat, and nobody mess with it. Nowadays you can't even do that.
Well, I fished it a lot when I was up there. I didn't even own a boat, but a lot of guys I worked with, I worked at Springs for up there for about 16 years, I guess, before I transferred down here. And a lot of the guys I worked with, you know, they had bass boats. And we had little fishing tournaments where we'd all get together and do that. And, you know, most of the guys just, they didn't want to go out by themselves. I was always a tag along, and I was happy to do it and help pay for the gas. But I did a lot of fishing on Lake Wylie. It was a good lake to fish. It was just such an unusual lake because we were so accustomed to being from this area in Anderson in the Harwell area that, you know, the lake ride going up and down all the time, and you have to have float docks and depth there. You know, it was just, you know, the lake level didn't change much, but you did have to be careful because if you crossed to the North Carolina side, you know, they would, you'd have a North Carolina license, whereas here in Harwell, you can fish all of Harwell with either Georgia or South Carolina license.
When they changed that, because my dad may have known that. I know we had our fishing license as a young boy and so forth like that, but I don't remember now if, you know, we had back then, and I'm talking back in the 70s, like 75 to 79 area was when I did a lot of fishing there. I know I went fishing, I just can't remember if the one license covered the whole lake or not, so. But, alrighty, I'm going to jump out of here real quick. I'm going to go help Sally do some laundry and see if she needs anything else from me. It was a pleasure talking to you, sir. Probably the longest we've talked in a while, so we'll let you finish up, and I'll be finished, and then I'll be back on probably for the net tonight, KA3JCA.
JCA and 4DJC. Richard, you have a good evening. Probably here on the net. And as always, a pleasure talking to you. Especially we got, you know, since we talking about the Rock Hill area. That was about the time I moved there. I moved there in 78. I didn't really start fishing that lake until probably sometime in the 80s, I guess. And I just remember that being the case then, but it may have changed before and may not have. It may still be the same, but I don't have any idea whether it's still that way or not. Anyway, have a good evening, and like I said, great talking to you again, and take care. 73 N4DJC clear.